Sutta Dhamma notes. Anybody wants to report meditation? You just put up your hand, then we pass you the mic. Or you got any question, you pass to me regarding meditation or the teaching. Anybody? Don't have. Okay, don't have, then we go back to the... What is it? Oh, okay. Ah, yeah. Pass the mic to our sister there. Yes. Push it out all the way. Yeah. Okay. Speak on it.
Okay. Good morning, Brother Teo.
Yes.
Please correct me in my meditation. Okay.
Okay. Don't worry.
From this morning, before coming up into the class,
yes,
I felt that I was running late. So I note my footsteps coming up the staircase quite fast, and I feel the anxiety in my mind, like it might be late. So I could notice that after that, reaching here, like there's a break already, and I sit down. Mm. During the meditation just now, to calm myself down, I note my breathing in and my breathing out.
Yeah.
After that, there's this contact of the hearing. I just note that it's the sound of the birds chirping.
Okay.
Birds chirping, and then I get back to my, because I don't want to have any storylines. I get back to my breathing in and breathing out. Then the most of the time is hearing that is more prominent.
Okay.
Next, and then I can hear snoring, and then footsteps, and all that. Mm. So all this, whenever I hear it, I don't fabricate things. I just come back to my breathing in, breathing out. Am I doing correctly?
Okay. So this is always quite a standard question. Thank you for your question. I will answer you. You see, I need to slowly point out to you so that you understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. It's not a question about the doing, correct or not. It's a question of whether you understand what you are doing or not. Do you follow? Do you understand what you are doing is more important than all these things you describe? Is it right or wrong? It's not about right or wrong. It's about understanding. When you understand, everything you do will be in accordance with the meditation. So the first thing that you have to remind yourself is, what are you doing in the name of meditation? What are you doing? What are you doing in the name of meditation? You say you are meditating, isn't it? So what are you doing? This is most important. If you don't know what you are doing, then you are blindly following what people tell you. That's why the first part you say you realize you are late. That one is normal. Then you come out the staircase quickly, you try to note your footstep. Okay? So, all this is what you are doing. You understand? But do you understand what are you doing in the name of meditation? Meditation is about what? Training your mind to be aware and stabilize it. Are you doing that? So, when you come out the staircase, you say you note your footstep. That word is very dangerous. Who is noting? The thought is noting. That's why I say when you walk, the mind and the movement is one. No need to note. Just walk, be mindful of that movement. That's it. There is no noting. You're just mindful of that movement. Mindfulness, the awareness, you are aware of all this movement. But when you are aware because you are thinking, understand? That's where the ordinary people differ from the heedful people. The heedful people, the thought doesn't run. When you are aware or mindful, there is no thought. But initially, you can't do it because you have not developed the ability to be mindful. So it's normal to go through what you are going through. But you need to improve on that. Otherwise, you won't change. Otherwise, you will be repeating this all over your retreat. You will do the same thing. So why can't you do away with all the noting and the labeling? No need to know anything. Just walk. And when you walk, learn to be attentive, learn to be aware of all this movement. Then when you are aware of the movement, you cannot think. The problem is you want to know.
Do I need to be aware of the anxiety going on in the mind at the same time?
That's the word you use. You say you need to be aware. But you don't know what is awareness. To be aware means silent. And see all this thinking proliferating. Understand not? Like you say, in the meditation, you hear the chipping of the bird. The moment you perceive it as the chipping of the bird, you are not aware. Do you understand? When you are aware, the word doesn't come in. Your silent mind and the phenomena as one. No word. It's just that thing. You cannot describe it. Understand? The moment you describe it, it's your thought coming in. Bird chipping. Means you are not with that phenomena. You understand? It is a new way of understanding how to develop sati. Where you are so used to words, thought. Without words, without concept, without thought, you cannot do anything. So that is the problem with most cultivator and meditator. So you need word, you need concept to tell you what you are doing. And this is all thought-based. So the next time when all this going on, you're just silent, then find out. What is that thing? Before the mind tell you, what is it? The mind that perceives through memory and tell you, that is the word. That is not the reality. The reality is the phenomena. No word one. Understand or not? Then like this movement, there is no word one. Then like all this anxiety that you use word to describe, is your mind already creating that word. Understand or not? But when you are mindful, you can feel. Your heart is pounding. Understand? Because you are in a hurry. You are not calm. You are not patient. Why must you in a hurry? Late, so what? Late. But if you want to be punctual, make it a point next time. Don't last minute. A lot of people like to wait till last minute. I tell you, you will miss your flight if you go to the airport. Because no point. For me, I would rather waste half an hour, 1 hour at the airport waiting. Never mind. At least I'm safe. I'm there. Then if I give meaning and importance to this retreat, I will be punctual. Unless I got something to do, I need to help somebody or I got an emergency or what. Then I tell myself, condition like that, I have to accord and flow. Never mind, let that class start. Then you calmly, mindfully walk with awareness and come out. No need to hurry, because it is not life and death. It doesn't mean you come late, you will be fine. Or you will be penalized for coming in late. Understand? There is no such thing. So why the hurry? Why the need to do all this? Because you are conditioned to behave this way. And this conditioning is the way that you have been living. You have been acting and doing all your things. That's why you have to reverse all this to a new way of heedful living. With awareness, with understanding. You know what you are doing. You are there to train your mind to be aware. Then stabilize it. So just do that. So are you training your mind to be aware? If you are training your mind to be aware, you don't have to have the anxiety, the hurry, the worry. You just walk normally, mindfully, calmly.
So you mean I don't have to be aware of what is going on inside the head here. The
you have to be aware, but the awareness is not like what you are doing. You are using thought to be aware. And I saw now, the word all come out. When you are aware, especially all the vibration outside, there is no word one. When your silent mind is with the vibration, it's just that thing without word. Because you all never tried it before. Like when you are silent, there is no word. A lot of things is moving on. You can use word to describe. But the thing that happened with the silent mind that is aware of it, got no words. You understand? Like I give you an example. If you look at that painting at the back there, when you look at it, before you perceive with the word, what do you see? It's just the awareness. Understand or not? That should be what you are doing, aware. No labeling, no word, nothing. Just that thing. That is the pure perception. But the moment you label, you miss the thing. Your thought come out already. And you are no longer aware. You are associating with what your mundane mind label. That's why you say, oh, picture, monk. Mahayana monk, all this come out already. But when you see things as they are, like a baby, no memory, nothing, just pure perception. That is awareness. That's awareness is, oh sorry, sati is awareness before the knowing, before you perceive, just that moment. That's why the silent mind, no perception on, just aware. So you have to learn to slowly develop this understanding. Huh? It takes time. It's not overnight. So you just walk normally, but have the mental intention to be aware of what you are doing. That's why I say slow everything down, the mind. Don't let the mind run ahead of you, but don't slow down your action. Just do one thing at a time. When you move your hand, your mind is with it. When you move your body, your mind is with it. Then you cannot think. This is what Kaya Nupassana is all about. You anchor your mindfulness to your Kaya, to your physical body, to your movement and action. When you are with this, you cannot think. But because most of the time you are thinking and you are hardly aware, that's why you are lost in thought most of the time. And you hurry and you use thought to know, thinking that that is mindfulness. You see the point? So this is where you have to develop the understanding to improve yourself. So next time, no need to hurry. Calm down yourself. Then if you want to be on time, make it a point to finish off your other thing that is not important faster. Then prioritize your important schedule or thing. So if you really want to listen to the Dhamma, the sharing, you feel that it's important, then make a point to come early. Cut short a lot of things that are not necessary. Then you don't have to hurry because the time given is enough. If you have your duty to do, then of course you also have to decide. If you need to do faster, you do faster. If you cannot do faster, then you need more helper, you let the organizers know. But more important is your own understanding of what you are doing. When you understand, then you know how to plan, then you know how to allocate your time, you know how to set your priority. Then your training is to be ever mindful throughout the day. If you are ever mindful throughout the day, you are meditating. Not necessarily you are sitting, then only you are meditating. So what you have done is the normal people will do. So what I want you to focus back is, what are you doing in the name of meditation? So like the Buddha explained, heedfulness is very important. So to be heedful, you have to be ever mindful. To be ever mindful, you have to be mindful. So the first thing is to train yourself to develop mindfulness. Method, technique, or anchor your mind to the object of meditation is to train yourself in mindfulness. So train. Walking, you can train. Any activity you do, you can train. Bowing, you can train. When you sit, relax, silent, you can train. So as long as you're training your mind to be mindful and stabilize it, then you are meditating. Understand or not? Not until that training stabilizes, until you are ever mindful, you cannot meditate, technically. All those doing is not meditation. Those are method and technique, noting here, doing all these things. If you use the thought active, how can you be mindful? That's why the thought must not be active. So you just relax and silent and let the thought settle down. And that is training your mind. So training your mind to be mindful is the first thing that you're supposed to do. Training mind. This refers to the mundane mind, to be mindful. Or aware. It's the first thing that you should do. And this one you can do it throughout the day. Okay? Then second point is to stabilize it. Until you are ever mindful. So this is the first part of training. When you are ever mindful, it's just half of heedfulness. Heedfulness is ever mindful to do the meditation. Then you add in the third one. So this is ever mindful. Then ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And Noble Eightfold Path is to be cultivated throughout the day. And to do this, you have to contemplate the Noble Eightfold Path factor slowly, understand. Otherwise, you cannot cultivate. What constitutes right view? Why the Buddha say law of karma is one of the right view? And how can it let you understand the teaching? And how can it let you understand life? How can you apply? And why did the Buddha use this as a basis to come up with his teaching? Like what we have gone through. And then when you understand, then you know, okay, these are the important right view and important reason why the Buddha said, I must follow his advice to avoid all evil, cultivate wholesomeness and goodness, and meditate and purify my mind. And that is basically Noble Eightfold Path, Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. And if I do this, I have right view. I follow the law of karma. The law of karma says I have to take care of karma. To take care of karma, I have to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path, no negativity. When you have Noble Eightfold Path, you avoid all evil. And all the other power factors are right. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. They are all wholesome. Then right mindfulness and right samadhi is about meditation. That's why the whole of the Buddha's advice is here. The whole of meditation is here. So when you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, it's to perfect yourself. Because a lot of people focus on only insight. Awakening to the three characteristics, which is not bad, which is important. But after you awaken to the three characteristics, you don't know how to use that to apply to Noble Eightfold Path, then you are not doing the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Well, the meditation as taught by the Buddha, he said specifically, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path under the fourth noble truth, it will lead to the end of all suffering. He never say, if you cultivate only the four foundation of mindfulness, which he did say the only way, then you will become enlightened. But if you check the four foundation of mindfulness, the last category of practice, Dhammanupassana, what is it? Mindfulness of what? Under Dhammanupassana. First is mindfulness of the five mental hindrance. Then mindfulness of the five aggregates of form and mind. Then mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases. Then after that, mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment. The last one? Mindfulness of? Four noble truths. That's why finally the four noble truths is there. And the four noble truths has this Noble Eightfold Path. That's why the four foundation of mindfulness cover this. If you don't use that to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, you don't have right view. You may have insight. You don't understand karma. Understand? No? Then you don't know this physical form and mind is subject to karma. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is very important. So focus on all this. What are you doing in the name of meditation? Am I training my mind to be mindful? If it's already done, have I stabilized it to be ever mindful? If it's already done, did I silence my mind to contemplate, reflect, and cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. If you do these three things, you are meditating. You can do it in any way, any sequence. As long as you are focused on heedfulness, all these three will lead to heedfulness. So when you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment, the Buddha said. Your heedfulness is ever mindful, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. So these two you add up become heedfulness. So meditation is about understanding. You must meditate in understanding. Then when you are aware, it means you are silent. Without word, there is awareness. So all the time you reverse your cultivation in this way, then you realize awareness got no word. Awareness is when you are silent, attentive, then you are aware. Then any movement, any activity, the arising of thought, everything, you know. Then the word can come out later, understand? Or? After you saw the thing, then you can relate it to your own thought process. Where you need word to express things, to share with people, to explain things to people. But when you are doing, it's not the word. When you are doing, it's the direct seeing, the silent mind understanding, awakening. That's where the difference is. And I can I can tell you, 90% of people are using thought. They are not using sati, awareness. Yeah. Their thought come in very fast. That's why it is almost impossible for them to develop the understanding. And a lot of this that they think they have already got the understanding are knowledge. That's why when they go out into life, into society, they cannot lie. They realize they still have fear. They still have worry, anxiety, and all those things, like what you are doing when you come out the staircase and all those things. Then you say you hear snoring. The word snoring is already you are not aware. Because you are inside there using your thought. Snoring, chipping out the bird. Yeah. Then people walking around. You're supposed to be completely silent. Understand? And then all this become very clear. And now I described to you this morning, One of the sister came and report to me last night. Very good. He said last time, he said he meditate at home. She cannot really maintain awareness. But the moment he lie down, sleep. But she said she was so surprised on the first day and the second day. She realized she can lie down and maintain awareness. Yeah. Then this awareness become very quiet, very still, very silent. Then you know what happened, she said. She suddenly can feel all the heartbeat, the pounding. Oh, the natural fast pounding of the heart, then the vibration of the whole body. Then later on, she continued to relax and silence. She can feel all the vibration all over the head, everywhere, and everywhere that it may contact. That is the real sati. And I said, no need stethoscope and can hear all this. Then I said, did you relax? He said, yes, I relaxed into it, silent. Then it become quiet, 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 slow down. Then you know what she said after it become quiet? She can hear so clearly when she wants to be aware of the chanting in the hall inside there, the one that they use the tok, 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 very clear. You see, every beat was so clear. Then later on, one very loud one, kung, also no problem. The awareness is vivid, no sound, no word, nothing. And she can describe all this. How she describe all this? Because the awareness, the silent mind is hearing all this without the word. Everything is so clear. That's why when you are aware, attentive, and silent, that awareness is different. Then he said later on it becomes so quiet until he can hardly perceive the heartbeat and the movement. Everything becomes so quiet and so still. That is what pasati is all about, the silent mind. You're supposed to stabilize until that level. Then after that, with that state, your mind will enter sati. Then everything you do become very easy. You are very mindful. That is what you're supposed to do. Understand? Yeah? So don't worry about what you do last time. Now, develop the understanding, just silent. Then find out, in the silent, what are those things? Without the word, find out. That is the real sati. Okay? Thank you for your question. Sadhu. Otherwise, a lot of people also don't understand, I think. Yeah. Can. You use the mic.
When you say awareness, like I'm aware of it, but not identify it. Is that awareness?
You can say that. You can say that. But what you are trying to mean is you are conscious. You are not aware. Do you understand me? Because the identification has been a habitual tendency in you. Understand or not? But you are now trying to use that understanding of what awareness is to suppress that conscious mind. Understand or not? Means you don't want to have anything to do with what you are aware of. Like the word you use just now is what? When you are aware, but you don't want to know. Is it? Is that the word? You don't want to identify. So it's the same. That is the correct explanation. But when you use it as a knowledge, means what? Your thought is trying to do that, understand or not? It don't want to identify. Oh, I don't want to perceive. I don't want to come out with the word. No. The real silent mind is, the moment you are silent, that thing appear. Understand? So, don't even have an idea of a concept of what awareness is. That's why I say, do. Do until the sati come, you will know. Your form and mind that is in sati will know. It's like whatever game you play. You play until you're very skillful, or even yoga or tai chi. What happened? You become very graceful. Yeah. Is there any thought behind? It becomes automatic, isn't it? You can just do that movement without thought. That is spontaneous. That is awareness. There is no thought involved. That is what sati is. Especially those who do yoga, tai chi. When your movement becomes so graceful, there is no thought. You realize it's automatic. Like badminton, you are very skillful. You just know how to retreat. And you know how to flick at the right moment. And it's spontaneous. And it's very powerful. It just goes. That's why when you are skillful, when you are trained the mind, it's like badminton. You want to return the shot baseline, it will go baseline. You want to return to the net, it will go to the net. If you want to smash, you will just smash. Means the mind listen to you. You want it to be silent, it will be silent. You want it to understand, it will perceive. Then if you want it to be in the state of sati, awareness, you will just do that. Means it listen to you because you have trained that mundane mind. So that mundane mind is no longer heedless like before. The mundane mind is already trained because you have been doing this training to be mindful until it becomes a new way of living life. Understand? It replaces your old way of heedless thinking. That's why you have to change. Just aware. No need to think. You know what is thinking? Most of your thinking are not required. It's just like you read the newspaper. You think how many percent of the news are important to you? Less than 1%, I tell you. Most of them are just, they call pakwasaman. Fake news or pakwasaman. What is pakwa? In English is what? Of gossip. The gossip. Why should you want to read all those things? So a lot of your thought, if you really aware, mindful, you realize they are all frivolous thought, not important thought. Sometimes no reason also come out, the fear, the worry, the anxiety. And sometimes it just catch you, then you become so unhappy, agitated, you go and think and think and think and think until this thought proliferate. Oh. Then it become like haunt you throughout the day. You cannot sleep, cannot eat, don't know what to do. Then your fear, your worry all come about. All because of what? You go and think. You don't know how to arise the right thought. Yeah? You don't have wisdom. You go and attach, you go and cling, you go and grasp, you go and hold. Then all these thoughts become wrong thought. That's how it conditions your fear, your worry, and maybe you project them. You'll die already. How? I supposed to deliver all this, I never deliver. Then if you are doing business, are you cash flow problem? How to pay creditor? How to pay salary? You go and worry, correct or not? If you go and worry, does it help you? It doesn't help you, is it? You have to seek a solution, is it? That's why no amount of fear, worry, anxiety can solve your problem. Always remember that. These are all not necessary. These are all wrong thought, not reality. But human beings, without the wisdom, they continue to do all these things. This is where they become heedless. This is how they become heedless. And this is how you should learn. Life is just to attend to situation, resolve it amicably, avoid evil, do good. That's it. Problem is only a problem. Like yesterday I say, you perceive it with negativity. It means you go and fear it, you go and worry about it. That doesn't help. Why can't you say, this is a reality. Condition like that, things will be like that. And then from there I start. Then I am calm, I am peaceful, I don't stir my mind, I don't have fear, worry. Then I look at it. What is my problem? My problem is financial problem, okay? So I also went through when I was young, when I was an engineer. My salary was only, attachment pay 600 something. Then I realized 1 month, even frugally, you got only 20 ringgit to spend, no? And that time I about to get married, no? I don't even have a house, I don't even have a accommodation, I rent a room, no? Then later confirmed my salary 900 something, minus tax 900. I got 30 ringgit a month on here. So how? Chinese New Year, go back, got to pump petrol, pay toll, and give ang pao. How? Where got money? So I told my wife, we have to plan. That's a son. I didn't worry. I just say, I need to do something. So I asked myself, whatever, job that can give me supplementary income, I will do. That's how I end up selling insurance. Somebody came to me and end up, he said, why not you join me? I said, join you? I cannot. I said, I'm a government servant. Oh, part-time life insurance. Okay. Oh, that's how I started. And for 3 years, I part-time life insurance agent. I top agent. No? Oh. And every year that time, I make extra 15,000 plus. No? It's a lot of money. That was my seed money for investment. That 3 years, I make 45 over 1,000. And to me, it's a lot of money. First time I have this type of money. Every month, not enough to go around. Understand? But I didn't panic. Understand? I understand this is a reality. So if I want to make a difference, I have to resolve it. Resolve it through what? Go and get a job. Understand? Go and look for income. But do it correctly. Don't go and steal. Understand? Don't go and cheat. Don't go and deceive. That's how you solve your problem. But don't panic. Understand? That time when I told my wife, I said, we got to plan. And you know what happened? My wife is just a temporary teacher. And temporary teacher, you know how much she got? 200 something. 200 something. No? She got to pay transport to go to school. No? Got to eat. No? Sometimes end of the month, don't have any money left. So it's not easy, but we still make it. Why? Because we take care of karma. Somehow karma come. Good people come. Then they will give you the condition. Then you know what to do. And that's how you become successful. If I have not taken care of karma, I will be in deep trouble, I tell you. I will have depression. But how come all this don't happen to me? Because of the past, the karma. And this motivates me to work, to strive, to achieve success, excellence. Then later on, I realized life is not just materialistic success. I need to understand the teaching. Because the Four Noble Truths, the moment I saw, I said, nobody can explain the clear understanding of his enlightenment by just summarizing all of life in the Four Noble Truths. I said, he must be the real one. The Samasambuddha, Sakyamuni. Because at that time, when I was 17 years old, I think, 1971, I tell myself, even if I have got this awakening, wisdom, understanding. I cannot summarize all of my understanding into just Four Noble Truths like that. But this Four Noble Truths, the moment I saw it in one of the books by Chief Reverend Kesari Damananda, the late chief, the moment I read that one, like I knew what this thing is. I said, all of life, mundane and super mundane, all summarized inside. I said, nobody can do that. He must be the real one. That's why after that, I never turned back. All the way, I just cultivate. I look into that teaching. Then I never go for any other religion and teaching. Initially, I was searching in Form 4. I went to all the religion. And I never look at Buddhism. Yeah? I thought what my mother do, pray to Dinti, can negotiate on. I help you, you help me on. You know what is that or not? If you help me bless my children, pass exam, good health, I offer chicken. I slaughter piglet. Wow, I say like that. This type of religion, I cannot look at it. Then I just didn't look at Buddhism. I didn't know what Buddhism was. Then when I saw that book, Chief Reverend wrote, What Buddhists Believe, the first edition, he said, all these are Chinese culture, tradition, Taoist practice, nothing to do with Buddhism. Wow. Immediately there was joy. Then I want to find out what is Buddhism. Then I read, I saw the Four Noble Truths straight away after that. No need to look. No need to search. That's it. Finish. How did I have this ability to understand? It's from the past. Because of the vow, the aspiration, the karmic inheritance, all this. Otherwise you can't. That's why I say you have to affirm, determine this life. To have this condition to understand all this. So that every life you come, you look at Hui Ning. He never go to school, illiterate. How come he hear one sentence or one stanza from the Diamond Sutta? The mind must have no dwelling. He came to great awakening. You think luck? Where got luck? He has been cultivating for so long. That's why this life he come, he has this ability. So nothing is luck. It's all because of your hard work in your past. So this life, if you are diligent, you have faith, you persevere, it will benefit you. You will have all this understanding. Okay? Yeah. Vivian. Okay, yeah? Where is Vivian? Oh, yes. Okay, yeah? So what you ask is good. Huh? You don't try to identify. Huh? But don't use it as a knowledge to try to achieve that. Just silence your mind. Like I say, the moment you are aware, your form and mind will know. Yeah? This form and mind that is aware, connected to it, will know what sati is. The word is no use. The word is knowledge. It's just like sugar is sweet. Okay? If I tell you sugar is sweet, you never tasted sugar before, how can you imagine what sugar sweetness is like? Do you know? But the moment I ask you to go and try that sugar, whether taste it direct or put into coffee or put into tea or what, then you drink one time only. You no need to describe it. You know what sugar is. Then how people describe you will also know. Yeah, you put less sugar, the coffee, if it's very strong, is bitter. But you put more sugar, the sweetness will come out. Because you know what the sweetness is. You tasted it before. So meditation is the same. When you are in the state of awareness, you know what the awareness is all about. Because when I was doing it during the early day, I bow until the awareness come. No? Then I realize, hey, how come no thought on? My movement, the bowing, and the mind is one. Namo bensi shi jia moni fo. Namo bensi shi jia. Then the word also missing. After that, no word. Just do. Do. Then I realize the mind that is in sati got no word. Then after that I move, everything is like magnified. Everything is in the state of awareness. That's how the daily mindfulness come. I did the 10,000 bowers because when I take refuge, my whole family take refuge under Master Senua, he got a requirement. He said, because he vow, not until all his disciples become enlightened, or Samasambuddha, he vow not to have the real enlightenment to become a Samasambuddha. So he said, don't be a burden to me. Yeah. So he said, the requirement is you must bow, 10,000 bow mindfully within 3 months. Cannot exceed 3 months. Exceed 3 months, do again. And I finish it in less than 2 months. You have to do, determine. Then I just bow. Then the sati came. Then I understand what sati is. When I was in Cameron Highland, that retreat 30 years ago, when I was doing the mindfulness training, I was doing walking. I was walking in the old building. Yeah? Then, because this building was small, half the size last time, then I went down near the Supa Lohan. You got 9 on this wall and 9 on that wall. I walked these 2 corridors, up and down, I just walk. I walk until the sati come, until everything is mindful. Then I realize the mind is very quiet, very still. It doesn't want to talk. That's how, when I sit after that, the cessation come, the understanding all come. This is how you should train. You should have faith, determine, and just do. Then it will happen. Okay? Now we better go back to our Heart Sutta. Okay, but it is a good question. So hopefully this will help you. Okay, chapter 4. Page 14. Emptiness of sunyata in Pali is a term frequently used in the Mahayana tradition. Just give me a minute. It's getting a bit warm because afternoon. Okay, emptiness of sunyata in Pali is a term frequently used in the Mahayana tradition versus the term non-self or anatta in Pali, which is the equivalent term that is frequently used in the Theravada tradition. So I explained before, sunyata and anatta is the same when you understand, because anatta, the meaning is very deep. I already explained earlier on, non-self is only a small part of anatta. The real anatta is empty nature or existence, because it is impermanent, dependent, originating, condition arising. That's why it's not a permanent, unchanging entity. Therefore, it is non-self, empty, not you. Yeah. Importance of understanding why our physical form and all external form can also be expressed as form is impermanent, brings about suffering. If we deludedly cling to it without understanding its empty nature or anatta nature, then suffering will arise. To understand it clearly, we must have the ability to see its manifestation via mind's perception. So all our external form, they manifest through your mind, anasana. When you perceive it, the external form enters your mind. So, like the block cut analogy that the Buddha explained to the monk, he told the monk, "What do you see?" Of course, you say, "I saw the block cut, isn't it?" True or not? It's a block cut. Yeah? Then he said, "Okay, take away the wheel, the axle, the part, everything." Then he asked the monk again, "What do you see?" They say, "They see nothing. No more blocker." Okay, assemble back. Then, what do you see? Again, blocker. Just like that, some of the monk awaken, enlightened. You know what it is trying to tell you or not, the blocker analogy? How did the blocker come to be? How did it come to be? What are the conditions? All the parts, when you assemble them and come together, it arises. Understand or not? This is the meaning of condition arising. Understand? Then when it arises through condition, you give it a name, give it a concept, because it performs a function, then you say, bulokat. Understand? Exists already. Then now I ask you, real or not? You say real, huh? when I dismantle the part, like the Buddha asked the monk to dismantle, then where is the blockade? It's gone, isn't it? How can it be real? Yeah, it is impermanent, dependent on condition it arises. When condition cease to be, it cease to be. Why can't you see? Do you understand? And everything in this universe is just like that, or similar. Some very fast, like your thought process, your feeling, the pulse of life, some of this vibration, my voice, they come and they go very fast. And the other way to understand it, let's say, if there is a passing car, okay? You hear the passing car, the vibration. Then, to you, this is real, isn't it? Well, you hear it, isn't it? True or not? But to another person far away, cannot hear, it doesn't exist, understand or not? So what is real? What is unreal? It's not nothing. Anything perceivable by your senses, you say is real. That's why your concept of real and unreal is so limited. Understand or not? Limited to what? Whatever your senses can perceive. Like the very high vibration, the beds that emanate. You can't hear. Understand or not? But the dog can hear. The beds can hear. Because their hearing frequency range is higher than yours. Yours, the audible range is limited. To you, all those sounds don't exist. But to them, who can pick it up, the scientists who can pick it up, they exist. So what is real and unreal? Because you base it on your senses, understand not? When you are not able to perceive it through your senses, not able to be conscious of it, you say not real. Like non-human, you cannot see, you say not real. But you really come into contact with non-human, when they haunt you, then you say real. Gokui, ukui. Why? Because you use your feeling to develop the fear. And you can't see, you can't feel. So we are limited by our senses. And a lot of these phenomena, they are dependent originating condition arising. So the Buddha say, externally, already not real. Understand? Then why do you cling to it, grasp to it, hold on to it, give meaning and argue over it, and create so much problem over it? We have no reality. Got condition, it come. No condition, it go. So got condition to have good food, it come. No condition, gone. Got money, go and buy. Understand not? No money, how? Go and look for money. Understand not? So you cannot create. Without condition, nothing happens. So work towards the condition, like karma. Take care of karma means take care of the condition. Plant the seed of wholesomeness. Then you reap the fruit. So everything is dependent originating. So what the Buddha wants you to understand is externally already condition arising, not so real. Then he asks, how do you know it's a blockade? Who told you it's a blockade? Through your education, what you learn from school, then through memory, then you perceive it. So, how did the blockade come about? It's because you perceive it. And what you use to perceive it? The mental aggregate of? Ayo. Mental aggregate of? What perceive? Perception, sanya. The aggregate of perception, sanya, that is the one that perceive it. And what is that? It's just an image, understand? Inverted in your brain. Then your brain make it upright. That's how you see, understand? Where you see images conjured up by your brain. Externally already not so real, when you perceive it through the mind, the aggregate of sanya is just an image. Is that real? It's even more unreal, isn't it? Then why do you cling to it, hold on to it, and give so much meaning to this fellow? It's just like thought. It's only a thought. Come and go. How come it got such power to make you so miserable, so unhappy, so worked up, so full of emotion or excitement? See this clearly. Then your delusion will slowly, slowly disperse. There is no reality. Everything is mind-made consciousness. Come and go, come and go. How real can consciousness be? Huh? How real can consciousness be? You know what is consciousness, eh? Awareness is content. Like your thought. Yeah? Your thought is the five aggregate of form and mind, the mental aspect. That is your thought. And that is the conscious mind that creates thought. Yeah. Because thought is respond to memory. It come out. So how real can be thought? Arise, pass away, gone. Just that image. But it has power over the living being because of your delusion. Do you understand? So see this clearly, then you got no more problem. Okay. Yeah. Now I read on, you understand. Huh? Otherwise, you cannot understand. Okay. Hence, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that we can cling on to, hold on to, and grasp on to, and say, this is me, and this is I, or own everything as mine. Thus, seeing it as empty, sunyata, or anatta, because it has no apparent reality. Also, a cultivator need to develop the wisdom to understand why form is external manifestation of mind. We are a clear and stable daily mindfulness cultivation. Without mindfulness, you cannot understand. Why is form external manifestation of mind? Yeah? Form is outside, isn't it? Then how did your mind manifest this form? Through perception, isn't it? You give it the word and the concept, isn't it? That's how all the external form come to be, become like real, apparently to you, is because you manifest it through the mind. That's why without mind, nothing happens. That's the reason why the Buddha said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, everything comes to be. So from the moment you arise this mind perceives, then the external phenomena will appear, arise, like real to you. So this is what Dhamma is all about. Without mindfulness, you cannot see. You cannot see the image. You cannot see all these things. And you cannot understand what the Buddha is trying to tell you. You are using your thought to try to think via knowledge. That one doesn't give you wisdom. That one gives you more knowledge. And you will argue. Because you use that, you cannot understand the ultimate truth, the real Dhamma. Then you think cannot be no meaning at all. Like that day, the question all become like, I don't think like that, not like that one. Then how? Because you can't see. And when you can't see, of course you say not like that. But for those who see, they always see. Truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? Because you are heedless. You don't have wisdom. You don't have understanding. That's why you never see. What you see is delusion. When you see delusion, you cannot penetrate the truth, the reality. You cannot understand the way things are. So this is what cultivation is all about. Cultivation demands mindfulness, direct seeing, to awaken to the reality, to see things as they are, not according to what your mind tells you, your brain tells you, your conditioning tells you, your views, your opinion. That one is not the truth. That one is not the reality. Okay, then we move on. Number three. Form delusion can be very powerful. Hence, if you can't see form, you can't see mind. Because form is much grosser, whereas mind is very subtle. However, with wisdom born of the direct seeing, form and mind delusion will cease to be, leading to enlightenment in the here and now. So it's just so simple. When you have mindfulness, you can see them. Definition of a samana. A samana is a renounced holy person in the robe, seriously cultivating the Buddha Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. He or she is also usually referred to as the one who is already enlightened. So the term is used as opposed to the other term, Brahmin. In India, a lot of the Hindu practitioners or teachers, they are called Brahmin. who studied the Vedas during the time of Sakyamuni Buddha. So to a samana, spiritual understanding is very important, because without spiritual understanding, one cannot be free. One cannot understand the problem and realities of life and existence. There is a recently printed Dhamma book for free distribution by Wave, with the title of the book called Samana, written by the late Long Ta Mahabhoa. That book is quite good, on the life of the late Long Ta Mahabhoa. He just passed away not too long ago. Our Kayamita Fund has also donated towards the printing for free distribution. Hence, we are given some copies of this book for free distribution from Wave. And anyone who is interested in having a copy can request for it from me. I still have them in my house. So in the recap, Red Theory emphasizes on the following important dhammas. The importance of understanding true emptiness is wonderful existence, leading to our ability to live life meaningfully and to the fullest. True blessing comes from our own cultivation via karmic inheritance and nothing else. That is not due to luck, feng shui, etc. So this one is a good reminder. It only comes through your karmic inheritance via your cultivation, nothing else. The importance of cultivating a very stable sati or mindfulness leading to heedfulness or apamada throughout the day is very important. Importance of repentance and asking for forgiveness sincerely, because you must see the importance. When you forgive somebody, what happened? When you forgive somebody, what happened? You read the note, What happened? You actually free yourself from the evil root of anger, hatred, and delusion. You realize or not? When I forgive you, means you sincerely forgive that person, means you are not angry with him anymore, isn't it? There is an easier way to root out the anger, isn't it? If you cannot forgive, you hold on to that vengeance, the anger, isn't it? True or not? Why are you so reluctant to answer? A lot of you must have got vengeance, anger, and all those things. You cannot forgive the fellow. Sue, yes. Pass the mic to Sue. Sue got something to share.
Yes, I have something very important to share.
Sadhu.
For the past 2 days, I actually had toxic purging. And I was very, very mad. I was very mad with somebody. Maybe the somebody also realized she's very mad with me.
That's a good one.
But in any case, I had this black face with me the whole day. So come in the afternoon. I suddenly saw her. And I just went to hug her.
That is the best.
And then I just told her, no need to say words. That hug speaks
for everything. For itself. Yes. Very good. Sadhu.
That particular action actually make me very happy.
Yeah, free your mind.
Free my mind.
Yes.
Whatever negative feeling I had towards the situation, towards the person, all evaporated.
Evaporated. Sadhu. Very good.
So, a loving act like that, just a hug, does wonders.
Yeah, sadhu. Let's rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So now from here, you can see the teaching. When she was very pissed off with that person and what happened to her, because the body got affected, diarrhea, purging, and so. So what is the thing that caused her to become like that? What is the thing that caused her to become like that? That is where the teaching is. Because she perceived it with negativity. He thought that fellow was the cause. Understand? Then she thought she don't deserve to have this purging. So all these wrong thought through wrong perception arise. And it is not her. It is the wrong thought that conditioned her through delusion to become angry. To become, like he used the word, piece of anasana. You see how evil root come in? When you perceive with negativity. So attachment to what? Attachment to the perception that you have on that situation and that person. Do you understand? There's an attachment to the five aggregate of form and mind is dukkha. So when you attach to what you perceive through wrong view, wrong understanding, it will condition you into negativity, suffering, misery. And this is what the Buddha meant by, in short, the five aggregates of grasping is dukkha. The grasping aggregate. You hold on to what you perceive. You hold on to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. Like your loved one. How did it come? Because you perceive it as your loved one through your consciousness and perception, seeing consciousness and your perception. Then the feeling arises. That's why upon contact, consciousness arises. Then within that contact or consciousness is feeling. And when there is no wisdom without yoniso manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience, wrong thought arise. And wrong thought condition, craving, emotion. Like and dislike, anger, hatred, sensual desire, craving, attachment. This is how the Dhamma flow. This is how you get entangled. Every day it happens so many times. But you are not mindful, you are not aware, you don't understand the essential Dhamma. You don't know what attachment is. Cling and hold until mentally, already, they call burn until hangus. Hangus is what? Hangus is overburn. And yet you think, that guy, if it's not that guy, I won't be in such condition. And you still blame, You still think you're very great. But the Buddha said this is delusion. You don't understand. You perceive things with negativity. That's why it becomes a problem. And it leads to attachment. It leads to wrong thought, wrong view. Then your evil root arises. Then you land yourself into affliction for nothing. That's why she said, one heart, free everything. Why meditate? Why cultivate? It's only understanding. If I'm willing to forgive, I got no more anger, no more hatred, no more negativity. Then she felt so good. You hear that, isn't it? And freedom is just like that. That's why she said, that miracle is just that heart without word. This is how Dhamma can be beautiful. You understand? No need to go and check the sutta, the Tipitaka. Ayo, how to respond? What did the Buddha say? You sure? Hangus, I tell you. Because you depend on knowledge, understand? Then you try to use memory. What did the Buddha say? What did Brother Teo say? I heard Su say, hug. No. I tell you, you meet one violent one, you go and hug, you cannot left and right. You must see the situation. You must express it sincere. You cannot go and copy. Hey, Su say, hug, miracle. No. So you go back at your enemy. You go. I tell you, if you are very pretty, very handsome, you hug, maybe nothing happens. But if you're not pretty, not handsome, you hug, you get in a big problem. So it's not about how to do, it's about understanding. When you understand, when you know how to express it through your feeling and sincerity, then people feel you. And the best way is to admit your mistake. I'm really sorry if I caused you any misunderstanding. If early on, if I have caused you any karmic negativity by showing my dislike or what, I would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. Then, your chanting book, there is a version at the back that teaches you how to ask for forgiveness. I may as well tell you. Asking for forgiveness, page 16, yes. That one is the standard one, the monk one. I got another one, page 18. That's why page 17, you got a 5 daily recollection. And page 18 is asking for forgiveness, then making aspiration. All this will help you in your cultivation. So I read, maybe together we read page 18, asking for forgiveness. This is a general one, then you can tailor it. Whomsoever from the distant past, read together. Whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that this nature of mine, had caused them any karmic negativity, misery, suffering, or misled, I would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. May my sincere request for forgiveness be accepted by all. I vow to repent. We are following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil. I vow to keep and uphold all my 5 precepts. I vow to do good and purify my mind. I vow to diligently cultivate the 4 right efforts, cultivate all virtue, and train my mind to be heedful. If you do this, then nature's law will take over. It's just like in society, when you sincerely ask for forgiveness, people will become different. They will respond equally. They say, oh, it's okay, I'm also at fault, you are not the one. Not only you, I also didn't really behave properly. Then you become good friend again, understand or not? So if you say it and do it with sincerity, then the nature's law take over and there is a response. Then you break your karmic obstruction. And then you can break free from your karmic thing. Otherwise, the karmic obstruction is so strong, especially if you commit karmic negativity to virtuous beings, to cultivator, to people who have certain virtue. I tell you, your karmic obstruction can be very severe. You don't play a fool with karma. Then making aspiration also. There is one down there. So you can make aspiration by saying, by the power of whatever wholesomeness and meritorious action and deed that this nature of mine had cultivated from the distant past until now, may it arise the causes and conditions for this nature to always avoid the foolish, beat out with the wise, until Nibbana is realized as soon as possible. So this is the standard aspiration for cultivation. But you can modify it to suit your worldly needs. This aspiration, we are invoking power of merits or power of truth and wholesomeness, can be modified to suit other needs where applicable. Then you can radiate love and metta. May all beings be well and happy and peaceful always. May the blessing of the Triple Gem, Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, bless and guide and protect all always. So all this is what you can recite. Then through all this, you can develop understanding. Like if you got problem, you got sickness, health problem, or what, you invoke power of merit for causes and conditions for you to recover to good health. You can use that because your merits are like your spiritual money, understand not? How you want to channel it for whatever purpose and use, you can. But it must be allowable. Like in our society, you make money, okay? Of course, must be legal. Illegal, you now got anti-money laundering act and all those things. They can charge you. So if you make it through the legal means, then you can use it. You can buy whatever you want to buy, things that are available for you to buy. You cannot buy things that people don't want to sell. Like people's wife, you don't try to buy. You can't. It's not for sale. Or like Brother Pang's new house. You go and ask, he won't sell unless you pay him well. Then he will consider. So certain things that people don't want to sell, you cannot. So when you make aspiration also same, don't be ridiculous. By the power of whatever merits that I have from the Divine, may I be enlightened as soon as possible or tomorrow. You think magic. Cannot. It's just like you want money to become enlightened. If you make me enlightened, I offer all this money. Can I? Because there is no such nature's law to exchange. Understand? If the Buddha can make you enlightened, you think the Buddha is not compassionate enough? What do you think? If the Buddha can make you enlightened, do you think he will not do it? That's why in his teaching he say, I can only show you the way. You have to walk your path, the path yourself. And Mahayana teaching like that. You eat your meal, you feel full. If I don't eat my meal, I don't feel full. Understand? 个人吃饭，个人饱. Understand? So when it comes to cultivation, there is a Buddhist hymn. I remember BGF last night used itself. No one save you but yourself. You heard of this or not? No one can and no one will. You yourself must walk the path. Buddha merely show the way. You heard of this hymn, is it? Huh? Yes, huh? You still wish the Buddha to make you enlightened? You think the Buddha not compassionate enough? Cannot, because enlightenment is the individual. Understand? The Buddha said this Dhamma can be realized only by the wise for themselves. If you don't cultivate, you are not wise, you want to be enlightened. The Dhamma already explained, impossible. You have to walk the path yourself and realize the truth yourself and awaken. Okay? What's the time now? Our lunch today normal, 12 o'clock, no more 12:30, okay. So we still got about 20 minutes. Okay, we continue. Part 2. Master Xuan Hua's very unique birth and life history. Okay, I will go through this quickly. On Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's birthday, the master dreamed that an old woman wearing a patch robe and string of beads appeared to guide him. This unique birth and life history of Master Xuan Hua provided a condition for Brother Teo to also share a bit of his unique spiritual affinity and encounter with Kuan Yin Bodhisattva in his early days. And the details are as described by him during the sharing on that day. So you go and get this audio file, you want to know. For detail, please refer to the web link that contains the recording as produced by, supposed to be Brother Sui An last time. Now it's in the website. Chin Hao has done it up. In 1986, Brother Teo and his whole family took refuge under Master Xuan Hua. And apart from taking the five precepts, the other condition is to finish off the 10,000 bow of reciting homage to the original teacher, Namo Sakyamuni Buddha, within 3 months. Brother Teo completed it in less than 2 months. According to Brother Teo, this bowing, if done mindfully and with very strong sadha or faith and virya or the spiritual zeal, can lead one to a very stable daily mindfulness very quickly. That's how you do this. Just bowing. No need to cross your leg and suffer like anything. Isn't it easier? If you want to change the thing, you change to Mandarin easier. Namo Bensi Sakyamuni Buddha, then you bow. Or in English, homage to thee, Sakyamuni Buddha, bow. Homage to thee, Sakyamuni Buddha, bow. So when you do that, bowing can give rise to so much benefit, do you know that? First of all, when you bow, you pay respect. It's a meritorious action. And when you bow mindfully, you train your mind to be mindful. Understand? These are tremendous benefits. Then when you bow, you exercise your body. Then when you can bow to somebody or image, you lower your ego, understand? You develop humility. You look at the amount of benefits that come with bowing. That's why you don't see the importance of bowing. Some of you think, oh, I'm very smart. I status very high. Or I'm a university graduate. How can I bow to the statue? How can I bow to monk? When you have that type of thought, you cannot benefit from this virtue. This bowing is very powerful and it gives rise to a lot of what they call benefits. That's why after I have those understanding, I try to share whatever I have. Okay, then we go on. Question 1. Is bowing another technique to develop mindfulness that is similar to walking and sitting? What do you think? You can say it's a technique, understand? But the important thing is not the technique, understand? It's what you are doing when you bow. When you understand, based on that, what are you doing when you bow? You bow mindfully means what? You are training? Hey, no response. What are you doing when you do that? You are training? Huh, the mind to be? Huh, aware and mindful. That's why that is meditation. Because you never ask. What are you doing in the name of meditation? So when I say bow, Brother Teo say bow, I bow. Then you won't learn as well. You must inquire. Why did I bow? Brother Teo already explained. To train my mind so that I can develop mindfulness, awareness. And I bow with mindfulness. And then you do. You will progress. And this is understanding. So you listen to the answer. The understanding of it is very important. See, I always repeat this. If you don't understand what you are doing, no use. You can repeat all this. It becomes method technique. You become gullible. You just believe what people tell you. There is not much meaning to your cultivation if you just follow instruction without understanding. You must understand why you bow and what you are doing in the name of meditation. See, this is all repeated. That is, do not just follow instruction to do certain things without any method or technique, etc. Thinking that when you are doing all this, doing all that, then you are meditating. This is what a lot of people think, gullible. The real meditation as taught by the Buddha cannot begin unless one has developed the training of the mind to be heedful with sati or mindfulness within. The various objects of meditation used in conjunction with the various methods and techniques. The various objects of meditation used in conjunction with the various methods and techniques are only initial skillful means used to train the mind so that it is not heedlessly lost in thought most of the time. So, understand this clearly. The main purpose of the object of meditation is to anchor the mind to that object of meditation so that it is always in the moment, mindful, and aware of the object of meditation without thought. Always remember that. Once this training is done, the trained mind will be say it out loudly. The trained mind will be this is what you're supposed to have. And such a mind is in the meditative state. Then what can he do? To see things as they are without any concept, idea, or words. This is what I was trying to explain to that lady. You remember? So now all written. No need to take note also. Just read it and understand it. Then you will be able to progress. When the above is understood, then any method and technique can also be used to train the mind to be heedful initially. But finally, we need to develop the ultimate meditative mind with silent inner awareness where the mind must have no dwelling as per the Diamond Sutta. So this training takes a while. Then one must let go of the meditation object and silent one's mind to develop the more refined mindfulness within. Like swimming. If you depend on the float to keep you afloat and swim, will you understand what swimming is? You can never, until you do away the float and you can still swim and float, that is real swimming. So object of meditation is just like the float, a skillful means to assist you to float. So it's a skillful means to anchor your mind so that you can train yourself in mindfulness. Then after that, you must do away with that object of meditation. Otherwise, you won't know what the real sati is, the real meditative mind is, just like swimming. Then I give the example here also. It is just like swimming. The float is just an initial skillful mean, object of meditation, to help keep one afloat. And so long as one still holds on to the float, then one will never understand the actual swimming, because to swim with the float and without the float are two totally different experiences. Bowing or reverential salutation is one of the 10 meritorious actions, and it is a very important virtue that comes with so many benefits and advantage. It is part of the opening and closing puja or devotional practice as recommended by the Buddha. That's why we pay respect a lot. To help one establish the spiritual faculty of sadha or faith in the Buddha and his teaching, followed by the spiritual zeal or virya, and the development of sati or mindfulness, which is the third spiritual faculty. One can then bow mindfully and with understanding via a composed mind with strong faith and spiritual zeal. Bowing is not idol worshipping, but instead is a reverential salutation done out of great respect and gratitude for someone who had taught us well, like the Buddha, who is the fully enlightened one, perfect in wisdom and virtue. Since it's a meritorious action, the field of merits is immeasurable if it is done with understanding to the worthy one or the enlightened one. Such merit can be made use of to arise the causes and conditions for us to progress quickly along the path of Dhamma. We are invoking power of merit. So these are all taught to you, the advice given to you. Apart from helping us to develop the spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, and sati, bowing can also help us to cultivate humility, help us exercise our body while establishing ourselves in mindfulness training. Also, according to the Buddha, four things grow if we pay respect sincerely to our elders and worthy ones. What are the four things that grow? Read from there. Ayuk, wano, sukang, palang. What is the meaning? Ayuk means long life. Wano, fair complexion. Sukang, happiness. Then palang, strength means not gulat. Gulat is physical strength alone. This is spiritual strength. So both spiritual and physical. All these four blessings are very important in life. So when you understand this, you better learn to bow more. Because this is really very, very beneficial. Okay, question two. Can you show us how to do the bowing? Is the Theravada tradition five-point prostration or the Mahayana way of standing up, then going down to prostrate and come up again? What do you think? What do you think? It's how you understand it. Whatever that suits you, you are used to the 5 point, do the 5 point. You are used to whatever tradition, as long as it can give you faith and develop the mindfulness, do. There is no fast rule, what they call hard and fast rule, There is no such thing as, which one better? Then you think I tell you, then you follow that one, you will progress. No such thing. Whatever that suits you, understand? So you bow accordingly, as long as you are sincere, like Brother Tay say, understand? And you understand what you are doing. Just with the faith bow, that's it. It's to develop mindfulness. It's not difficult. Okay, you see here the answer. Whichever way that suits you more, use it. The most important thing is what? When you bow, do it mindfully with your very strong sadha or faith and virya, and do it with proper understanding. Always remember, one can only do one thing at a time. That is, either you are mindful with the moment in silent awareness without thought, or you are thinking and lost in thought. So this one is very obvious. Hence, you become heedless. Bowing mindfully means body and mind move as one in harmony without thought. When the mind is composed and without the mental hindrance of mind, mindfulness will be there naturally. So develop the faith, compose the mind, then chant the salutation to Sakyamuni Buddha, and then bow mindfully to develop the sati or mindfulness within. After a while, if you are sincere, patient, and doing it with understanding, then it can bring about a condition for sati or mindfulness to arise. Mindfulness arises through understanding and perseverance. And when mindfulness is firmly established, there will be so much joy. The mind is so quiet, so silent, so light, so still, so composed, and yet fully aware within throughout the day. In every movement and every action, there is so much clarity and awareness within the heart. It then starts to see things as they are, and direct knowledge and vision of the reality keep on arising. Things that are there all this while. I read this again. Things that are there all this while. This one should be plural. It's three characteristics of nature like anicca, dukkha, anatta, etc., which the normal living being never see, suddenly become very clear to you. This is the reason why Bradley always said to us, truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. You understand, huh? Truth means what? The characteristics of nature, anicca, dukkha, anatta, they are everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? The enlightened one, for those who see, they always see. Then question 3. Are the teaching of our three great Buddhist traditions, Theravada, Mahayana, and Vajrayana, all the same or are they different? This one I need to clarify. That's why that time, luckily, the question was asked. And I answered them very well. You listen. The essence of the Buddha's teaching, like the Four Noble Truths, which includes the Noble Eightfold Path, are essentially all the same for all the three traditions. Agree or not? So where is the difference? The difference is the expansion of it, the explanation of it. It is only how they approach it and make it appear to be very different because of different commentaries and interpretation of sutta via words and terminology used. And all this complicate the matter further, as words are subject to various interpretation. What is more important is not to argue and create any unnecessary division and misunderstanding within the various traditions, but instead to have an open mind and avoid all negativity. Make use of whatever that is relevant and suitable for each of us to progress along the path of Dhamma, following the Buddha's advice to the Kalamas, as stated in the Kalama Sutta. Then have harmony, love and understanding, following the Noble Eightfold Path, to resolve all issues amicably is very important. That is, no more negativity, means no more argument, no more division. This is what you must do. Yes, an open mind is very important. Then question 4. Can you explain the difference between Pure Land teaching that talks about Western paradise and Nibbana as taught by Sakyamuni Buddha? You think they're different? I read to you the answer. Pure Land teaching is based on Amitabha's great vow, which created the Pure Land, also called the Western paradise, for those disciples and cultivators who have the affinity with him to continue with their cultivation of perfection. By virtue of Amitabha Buddha and all of the other great bodhisattva like Kuan Yin, Manjushri, etc., their great cultivation, their vows are so powerful because of their wisdom and perfection. Hence, this lead to their great vows being integrated into nature's law, because their vow has become nature's law, thereby enabling their vows to have a very special effect to create such pure land, and thus helping the cultivator or their disciple who know how to connect directly to their vow within themselves, without themselves having to be there or at any specific place to help the disciple. Well, last time they used to ask this question. Everybody requests for Kuan Yin to help. Kuan Yin, where got time? You have that question in your mind or not? Because to me, when I was young, I have that question. Then I straight away got the answer. No? I say because Kuan Yin, the perfection is so great, his vow has become part of nature's law. That's why his vow, one of them said, whoever call upon her for hour sincerely, the word is sincerely, there will be a response. Understand not? That's why you must have faith in her. You must have sincerity. Then you must know how to cultivate affinity. Means you chant the Heart Sutta, the Great Compassionate Sutta, or the Four Hao, Namo Kuan Sing Busa. Just like the chanting down there every morning. Then also, Om Me Me Pe Me Hom. These are all the Kuan Yin's very great mantra. And the name that he has established, like the Great Compassionate Mantra, all the 80 plus manifestation that she has come, and all these great beings' name come together as one mantra. That's why it's very powerful. This Pure Land or the Western Paradise is in the heart of those who have developed the cultivation and have the ability to connect directly to Amitabha's vow via the silent mind with very strong faith while chanting Amitabha Buddha's name or mantra. You must chant until no one is chanting. There is the vibration and the mind or awareness has become one in perfect harmony and synchrony. That's why you chant, Amitabha, Amitabha, Amitabha. Until the awareness and the vibration become one, then no one is chanting. That is the true mind aware. Then later on, no one is chanting. That vibration arises in the brain there. Then you are aware of the vibration, that brain, together with that for how. That's how mindfulness can be developed. That's why you don't think Pure Land chant and can become enlightened. They used to comment what? No noble eightfold path, no four noble truths, just chant the Buddha's name and can become enlightened. You don't understand what they are doing. You know what they are doing. When they have faith in Amitabha, they chant their Buddha's name, the vow will connect them. That's why the faith is developed, the spiritual faculty. Then because of the spiritual faculty of faith, they know the importance of this Pure Land teaching. They have the virya to cultivate. Then when they chant until the forehow and the awareness become one, they have sati. That's why when the sati stabilize, it becomes samadhi. Then they keep on seeing things as they are. The wisdom will arise. That's how they cultivate. The five spiritual faculty is established through chanting. Then after that, throughout the day they chant, no, like daily mindfulness. No. Never leave them. No. It's like you bow until the body and mind become one. No. Until the chanting and the vow become one, or the forehow become one. Then they are whole day aware, fully aware. That's how the daily mindfulness become different. Then they can understand the teaching. They can insight into phenomena. They can understand the words of the Buddha, the truth, everything. That's how they do it. So it's through chanting that the spiritual faculty come. That's why when you don't understand, you don't simply comment. Then 2.6. What are the 31 plane of existence? This one very easy. You go and read up yourself. So Theravada tradition got 31 plane. Then the Mahayana, they got a 6 bar. Liu Tao Liu Hui. So the formless rhyme got 4 rhyme. Brahma rhyme 16. The sensual rhyme, there are 6 Deva rhyme, 1 human rhyme, and the 4 woeful state. Then all the rest are all in the appendix. You go and read it out. Okay, we end. You can have your lunch. So you can pay respect to Triple Jam. Then you can have your lunch. You can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, at least we cover one chapter. Chapter 5. Okay.